The United States is waging a new Cold War against China. And today I'm going to be looking at extreme comments made by top U.S. government officials who are openly calling for overthrowing the Communist Party of China, overthrowing the Chinese government, creating a new government. And these U.S. officials are proudly boasting that Washington is waging a new Cold War, comparing it to the first Cold War against the Soviet Union, and saying very clearly that the U.S. must win this war. And in order to win, they are calling for massively expanding the U.S. military budget, increasing recruitment of people into the U.S. military and to spy agencies, increasing censorship of people accused of being pro-China. And in fact, they say openly that their plan to try to unite the U.S., which is becoming very politically divided, is to use the new Cold War to bring people together, to unite everyone with mutual hatred of China. And this is a narrative that we're increasingly seeing in major media outlets in the U.S. Bloomberg published an article noting that regardless of who wins the U.S. presidential election this year, China will lose. They noted that Trump has pledged very high tariffs on China of at least 60% on all Chinese goods, and that Trump wants to massively escalate the U.S. new Cold War against China. But also Biden and the Democrats are fully on board with this new Cold War. Biden has continued expanding sanctions on China and waging tech war. And Bloomberg pointed out that before the election, Biden will likely announce a new series of economic warfare tactics against China, including more tariffs and more sanctions. So this is a completely bipartisan new Cold War. And we saw one of the most shocking examples of this yet in an article that was published this April by Foreign Affairs. This is one of the most influential media outlets in the US. It is the official magazine of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a powerful think tank in New York that essentially is the link between Wall Street and the U.S. State Department. And the Council on Foreign Relations includes many top U.S. government officials as members and acts as a kind of revolving door between Wall Street and the State Department. In fact, I did a report back in February, which I will link to in the description below, in which I looked at an article that was published by the CIA director, William Burns, over at Foreign Affairs. And in this article, he condemned China as the greatest so-called threat to the U.S., and he boasted that the CIA is doubling its budget for anti-China operations. And he also talked about the war in Ukraine. He boasted that the U.S. has benefited from the war in Ukraine, and he heavily implied that Taiwan will be next in this overall new Cold War against both Russia and China. The U.S. is already waging this proxy war against Russia and Ukraine, and the CIA director said that the U.S. is likely going to be continuing this new Cold War with a proxy war against China over Taiwan. And the CIA director threatened this in an article published in Foreign Affairs magazine. Now, the latest article that I'll be looking at today was published this April by two very important U.S. government officials. Matt Pottinger was the U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor, and he also, before that, was the Senior Director for Asia on the National Security Council. This is in the Donald Trump administration. He served all 4 years of the Trump administration and was one of the most influential people in Trump's government, overseeing the anti-China policy, the trade war on China, and the new Cold War. And the co-author of this article is Mike Gallagher, who is a sitting U.S. congressman from Wisconsin. He is also a Republican, an ally of Donald Trump, and he is the chair of the House of Representatives Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, which is what the U.S. Congress created specifically to demonize China, to spread disinformation against China, to wage the new Cold War. And by the way, both Matt Pottinger and Mike Gallagher worked together in U.S. military intelligence. They were spies for the U.S. military. They were both involved in the Iraq War, so they are complicit in war crimes in the U.S. illegal invasion and occupation of Iraq. They are neoconservatives, and they are very prominent members of the Republican Party, and they will likely be involved in some way in a Donald Trump administration if Trump wins the election this November. And there are people who say that Matt Pottinger could even be Secretary of State, could be National Security Advisor in a new Trump administration. And in this article, they are very straightforward. They say that the U.S. is in a new Cold War. We should be honest about that. They say the U.S. must win this new Cold War by overthrowing China's government. And they say that the U.S. should prepare for a potential hot war if necessary. It's very, very striking. And I should also point out, though, it's quite interesting and kind of funny about this article, is it's written by two prominent Republicans involved in the Trump administration. And they basically say that the only thing that they agree on with Biden and the Democrats is they agree that we should have this bipartisan new Cold War. So they begin this article saying that the Biden administration's China policy has stood out as a relative bright spot. So saying one of the good things about the Biden administration is that it has continued Donald Trump's new Cold War on China. They know that Biden has strengthened U.S. alliances in Asia, restricted Chinese access to critical U.S. technologies, and endorsed the bipartisan mood for competition, the bipartisan new Cold War. And they say the U.S. should not manage its competition with China. It should win it. And they say, how does winning look? Well, they say that the Chinese people should overthrow the Communist Party and have new models of government. So they're openly calling for overthrowing the Chinese government. And in this article, they say that we need greater friction with China. So they want to make relations worse, not better. They don't want diplomacy. They want more conflict. They say that the U.S. should adopt rhetoric and policies that may feel uncomfortably confrontational. And they say that the U.S. must rapidly increase U.S. defense capabilities, that the U.S. must sever China's access to Western technology, so continue waging this tech war. And they say that a Cold War is already being waged. Rather than denying the existence, Washington should own it and win it. So like the original Cold War, the new Cold War will not be won through half measures or timid rhetoric. And they say that the U.S. should oppose the discredited detente policies of the 1970s, in which the U.S. tried to cool off relations with the Soviet Union because they were afraid of the possibility of nuclear war. Now, in this article, these Republicans also boast that Biden has maintained the tariffs that Trump imposed on Chinese exports. Biden has also renewed the executive orders that Trump issued to restrict investment in China. Biden has blocked the import of Chinese technologies. Biden significantly expanded the Trump administration's controls on the export of high-end semiconductors and the equipment used to make them. Across Asia, Biden's diplomats are pulling together longtime allies and newer partners into alliances like the Quad, the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, which is a military alliance with the US, Australia, Japan, and India. And in this article, there are also several complete falsehoods, just completely false claims. It's full of disinformation. And as one example of this, we saw a very misleading, deceptive tactic being used by these US officials. And what they did is they took different speeches given by Chinese President Xi, and they put them together and misleadingly claimed that the Chinese president was boasting that the chaos in the world benefits China. Now, this is completely misleading. So what happened is that they looked at a speech that was given by China's President Xi supposedly in 2021, in which President Xi said, the most important characteristic of the world is chaos, and this trend appears likely to continue. However, in a separate article that Matt Pottinger wrote back in 2022 in Foreign Affairs, he cites the same quote, but he actually says that it's from April 2021. This is the quote in which Chinese President Xi warns of the chaos in the world. In one article that Matt Pottinger published in Foreign Affairs 2 years ago, he says this quote is from April 2021. And yet in this article that he published this year, he says it's from January 2021. So we already see that this is completely, false. This is a blatant error. And Foreign Affairs, if it's a real professional publication, they should correct this blatant error. But this is just the beginning. It gets actually even worse, because what he also did very deceptively is that Matt Pottinger, again, the former deputy national security advisor of the U.S. government under Trump, he took a separate speech that President Xi gave, in which President Xi said, quote, "The times and trends are on our side." Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, this comment by President Xi was actually made in January 2021, not in April. It was a separate speech. It was not the speech where he was talking about chaos. And ironically, this Wall Street Journal article points out that President Xi was sending another message to U.S. President Biden, in which he called for peaceful coexistence and diplomacy. This article notes that the Chinese president spoke out about the possibility of a new Cold War. He rejected the intimidation and threatening of other countries. He opposed the calls for decoupling, disruption, sanctions, isolation, estrangement, and confrontation and division. So President Xi does not want a new Cold War, which is, of course, the opposite of what Matt Pottinger and Mike Gallagher claim in this propaganda article. And this Wall Street Journal article pointed out that allegedly President Xi made the comment that the times and trends are on our side in January in a meeting of Communist Party officials, not in April. So this is completely separate from the April speech that Matt Pottinger published in his other article. So again, this, I'm trying not to confuse you here, but what this shows is that they're being extremely misleading and deceptive here, and they're taking separate speeches allegedly made by President Xi and lumping them together to falsely claim that China is boasting that the chaos in the world benefits it. But that's not all. That's not the end of the deception being carried out by these U.S. officials, because the Washington, D.C. based think tank, the Wilson Center, which is funded by the U.S. government, published a report in which they actually pointed out that this comment was not made by President Xi himself. It was actually made by another top Chinese official, Chen Yixin, who is the Secretary General of the Communist Party's Central Political and Legal Committee. And he said the comment in January 2021 that the times and trends are on our side, not China's President Xi. So here we see a flagrant example of how U.S. officials are putting words in the mouth of China's president, completely distorting what he said and spreading disinformation to try to demonize China. And Foreign Affairs needs to publish a correction. This is completely false. But of course, this article is full of falsehoods and deceptions. Again, it was written by two top U.S. government officials who served in military intelligence. They were spies for the U.S. military. And they are dedicated cold warriors, dedicated to overthrowing the Chinese government. And another deception in their article is they refer to this incident in February of 2023, in which China was accused of supposedly trying to spy on the US with a so-called spy balloon, which accidentally crossed into US territory. It was blown off course. And by the way, last year, the Pentagon admitted that this so-called spy balloon was not spying. Pentagon spokesman Pat Ryder said in a press conference that this Chinese balloon, quote, did not collect while it was transiting the United States or overflying the United States. And Matt Pottinger and Mike Gallagher also referred to it as a spy balloon, despite the fact that it was not spying. And the U.S. government spent millions of dollars destroying this balloon using missiles, despite the fact that it was not spying. Now, furthermore, another falsehood in this article is the claim that China is building a spy base in Cuba. This has also been debunked by U.S. officials. In fact, this article points out that after the media reported this, citing anonymous U.S. spies in 2023, later a U.S. national security spokesperson called this report false, that China is not building these spy facilities allegedly in Cuba. And yet, then a White House official spoke anonymously to the press and minimized the report, suggesting that Chinese spying from Cuba is not a new development. So we see that the U.S. government was trying to send out these conflicting signals because this is obviously something they have no evidence for. So one U.S. official says it's true, another says it's false, another says it's true again. And meanwhile, in foreign affairs, they're trying to portray the Biden administration as being too soft on China. But in reality, it's simply false. It's not because the Biden administration is too soft on China. It's because they were acknowledging that there's no evidence for this false claim that was being spread that was only further antagonizing China and even hurting U.S. relations more. But again, this article is not interested in telling the truth. It's interested in manufacturing consent for the U.S. new Cold War on China. And it's full of every single anti-China talking point and buzzword, like the fentanyl crisis, which has nothing to do with China, which the U.S. is blaming on China, not blaming on big pharma corporations like Purdue Pharma and the Sackler billionaire oligarchs who made money off of getting people addicted to OxyContin and other highly addictive drugs. They also blame the Chinese Communist Party for TikTok, which again, is just this ridiculous propaganda. I'm not even going to spend time going through this nonsense. And in this article, they draw parallels to the U.S. Cold War on the Soviet Union and the new Cold War. And they say that the moment today is similar to the 1970s. And this is a very revealing moment of the article because they talk about the Soviet Union and portray Moscow as evil because the Soviet communists were helping countries in the global south liberate themselves from European colonialism. So in this article, they complain about the Soviet support for the revolution in Angola against Portuguese colonialism or against the Vietnamese National Liberation Forces fighting against first French colonialism and then U.S. neocolonialism. So here we see very clearly that according to the U.S. government, the Soviet Union was bad because it helped global South peoples liberate themselves from European colonialism. This is what the U.S. thinks. The U.S. is the new neocolonial power in the world, the imperial power, and wants to control the entire world. And they now see China as bad because China is supporting global South countries against U.S. neocolonialism. And these U.S. officials, again, they complain about detente. They say, we do not want detente with China. We want war with China. And later in the article, they praise Ronald Reagan, saying that he sought to win, not merely manage, the Cold War with the Soviet Union. And in yet another example of this blatant disinformation in this article in Foreign Affairs, these U.S. officials quote a Chinese official named Yuen Peng, and they take out of context a comment that he made about the internet and the so-called post-truth era. Now, what they're trying to do is that Chinese government censors don't actually care about the truth, and they're trying to subvert the truth and create a post-truth world. But in reality, if you look at the full comments that were made by this Chinese official, he was not saying with pride, happily, that we're in a post-truth world. He was simply speaking about the reality of social media and how social media is used to spread disinformation around the world, not in China. He was speaking generally about this technology. And this is actually acknowledged in the full quote that was ironically cited in testimony that was published by the U.S. Congress's Committee on the Communist Party of China. And they have this quote in here, and they selectively take one sentence out of the larger paragraph. But in reality, if you look at the full paragraph, this Chinese official was complaining about the rise of xenophobia and extremism and adventurism. And he was complaining about how in the era of the internet and these digital technologies, the false pretends to be true, and the truth also is false. And he says, what is real and what isn't, truth and falsehood are hard to distinguish. And in this strange phenomenon without precedent in the past century, it is only by maintaining resolve and not fearing the floating clouds and refusing impulsivity that we will ultimately be able to emerge victorious from this strategic game. So he's not advocating for throwing away truth and living in this post-truth world and spreading lies. That's not what he's doing. He's saying that actually this is a strange phenomenon, and he's comparing it to the rise of xenophobia and extremism. But that's not what these U.S. officials, Mike Pottinger and Mike Gallagher, claim in this Foreign Affairs article. No, 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 no. They're being extremely misleading and deceptive. They're claiming that the Chinese government is intentionally trying to censor the truth and create a post-truth world based on lies in order to expand its power, which is not at all what's happening. And once again, it shows how they're not actually interested in the truth. They're accusing China of doing exactly what they are doing. Again, these two co-authors are experts in information warfare. They were spies for the US military. And here we see them deceptively misquoting Chinese officials in order to justify the new Cold War on China. And they're very honest about their goals. They write very clearly in this article that rising tensions are inevitable and that the US must, in the long run, win the new Cold War on China. And they say that the US must rearm its military and reduce China's economic leverage and recruit a broader coalition to confront China. Now, they claim that they do not want a hot war with China. But ironically, they say that the only way to stop a hot war is more of a military buildup, which makes the possibility of a hot war even likelier. And they say the only path to avoid this future is for Washington to immediately build and surge enough hard power to, they say, prevent a war in Taiwan. But in order to do that, they call for massively increasing military aid to Taiwan, which is part of China. The US agreed that Taiwan is part of China when it normalized relations with the People's Republic of China in the 1970s, when the US signed the three communiques with China. And they say they don't want a hot war, but all they're doing is actually calling for expanding US military spending. And they say that the US military spending now of over $800 billion is not enough. They say the US should expand its military spending from 3% of GDP to 4 or 5% of GDP. This is absolutely insane. In 2023, US GDP was $27.36 trillion. They want a military budget that is 5% of GDP. That is $1.37 trillion per year spent on the military. And that's a conservative estimate, by the way, because it often doesn't include energy costs. The nuclear program is often included in the US Department of Energy, not the Department of Defense. Also, veterans expenses, veterans health benefits and such are not included in the military budget. So they're calling for a bare minimum of $1.4 trillion per year. And Matt Pottinger and Mike Gallagher, in this article in Foreign Affairs, they say that the US goal should be a generational effort to restore US primacy in Asia. Now, the US is not in Asia. I don't know if they know that. Maybe they've never looked at a map, but the US is not in Asia. But they insist that the US should be the hegemon over the entire world. These guys, these top US officials, and many other people in Washington, they are neocolonialists. They truly think that the entire world should be controlled by the US empire. That the US is not only the policeman of the world, it is the emperor of the entire world. And they say that for US forces to deter China, the US must move within striking range. The US military needs to expand into the Indo-Pacific region. They complain that China poses a threat to US bases in the Indo-Pacific region on the other side of the world where the US is not located. They call for expanding hosting and access agreements with allies and partners to extend the US military's footprint in the region. They call for the US to harden its military installations across the Indo-Pacific. They also call for intensifying the US economic war on China. And they say that the US should repeal China's normal trade relations status, and the US should move China to a new tariff column. They call for Washington to expand investment restrictions on China to reduce the flow of critical technology to China, to ban the export of other technologies, not only semiconductors, but also quantum computing and biotechnology. They call for the US to recruit a coalition of friendly partners and to sign trade agreements with Japan and Taiwan, which is part of China. So they want the US to violate the One China policy. And what they're basically doing here is they're heavily implying that the US should support separatist extremists on Taiwan. And then one of the funniest lines in this article, I mean, it just shows how blatant these warmongers are in Washington. They say, quote, the US government also needs to recruit the next generation of cold warriors. So they are proud that they are cold warriors, and they want teenagers today to be the cold warriors of the future. They call for expanding military recruitment for this big existential war on China. They call for expanding spy recruitment in the intelligence community. And again, these two guys, they were spies for the US military. They call for recruiting everyday Americans to contribute to the fight against China. They say that US policymakers' squeamishness about the term Cold War caused them to overlook the way it can mobilize society. A Cold War offers a relatable framework that Americans can use to guide their own decisions. So ultimately, they're saying, look, we're very divided as a country. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, we should all unite in the new Cold War, like in the first Cold War, in the second Cold War, we can all join together, and this will be our unifying mission as a country. We, as Americans, are going to go and fight against China. That's what they're calling for. This is really the only thing in Washington that these warmongers have to offer people. No healthcare, no education, no benefits, no social programs. They're going to privatize any of the few social programs remaining, like Social Security. All they have to offer people is war. And they want everyone to unite against China. And this is both a Republican and a Democratic project. These are loyal Trump allies in the Republican Party, but the Biden administration, the Democrats, are basically saying the exact same thing. And these cold warriors conclude their article in Foreign Affairs saying that their goal is for China to have a new government to overthrow the Communist Party. This is their explicitly stated goal. And they go back to the history of the first Cold War. And they point out, by the way, that in the first Cold War, the US policy was not containment. It was actually rollback. It was regime change. And they quote some very important US government documents that are not very well known, including NSC 68, which was a 1950 Truman administration policy paper in which the US government called for a, quote, fundamental change in the nature of the Soviet system, that is regime change. And they also quote another little known document from 1983 in the Reagan administration called the National Security Decision Directive 75, which called for internal pressure on the USSR in order to overthrow the Soviet Union. So they're saying very clearly here that our goal is not just containment of China. Our goal is rollback and regime change to overthrow the Chinese government. That is what they're saying very clearly in this article in Foreign Affairs, one of the most influential magazines in the US. So this is the plan that US officials have for China. They want a new Cold War. They want to overthrow the Chinese government. They want to expand the military budget to $1.4 trillion per year. They want to expand recruitment of people to join the military. They want to expand the recruitment of people to join US spy agencies. They want to militarize the Pacific. They want to expand the US military footprint in Asia. They want to recruit other countries for this new Cold War on China. They want to support separatists in China's Taiwan province. And at the end of the day, they're actually preparing for hot war. They say they don't want hot war, but all of the actions that they are proposing make the possibility of hot war significantly more likely. And that's why they're saying that they want to expand the US military, expand the budget, expand recruitment, because they know very clearly what the consequences of their actions are. They're manufacturing consent for war, and they're saying that, look, we can unite as a country. We can deal with our internal problems by unifying, ignoring them, and instead blaming China for everything. This is the only so-called solution that the warmongers in Washington have, an apocalyptic war against China. So unfortunately, I don't have anything else to add here. I wish I could end in a more optimistic note, but this is the reality. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I am Ben Norton. I am the editor-in-chief of Geopolitical Economy Report. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Please like and subscribe to help to promote this material in the algorithm. I will be back very soon for more coverage. Thanks a lot.